My name is Byung Cho, and I'm a grad student at Penn State University. I'm a member of Computer Systems Lab. This work is a collaboration with Dr. Bhuvan Argonka and Dr. Anand Sivasubramanian. So the title of my talk is To Move or Not to Move, the Economics of Cloud Computing. So as everyone is familiar with, cloud computing claims many benefits, such as cost savings, automatic scalability, transparent redundancy, and so on. But in this talk, I'm primarily interested in the cost savings aspect of migrating an application to the cloud. So many people expect cost savings from cloud compared to traditional hosting for the reasons such as pay-as-you-go nature of the cloud or cloud's elasticity. And the main argument about the elasticity is that it allows you to precisely match the capacity needs of your applications. But there is no consensus about this, whether the cloud really provides the economic benefits or not, and you can find many arguments or claims on both sides. For example, there are a lot of claims that says cloud computing can save you a lot, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and also at the same time you can find the arguments, counter arguments, that says the cost savings of cloud can be questionable. So the goal of our study is to systematically investigate what conditions or variables affect the cost in what ways. So let me briefly explain the problem of determining the cost of hosting an application in the cloud. So we have a representative e-commerce application here, and then there are a variety of cloud offerings such as these, and you might have your own in-house infrastructure. Given all these options, then the question is then, how do I make the best use of all these to get the cost benefits out of this? There can be many complex ways to make use of all these cloud offerings, but in this talk, we are limiting the problem to the scenario where the owner of the application considers in-house infrastructure plus at most one cloud service provider at a time. So the outline of the talk is that I'm going to first briefly explain the framework of framework of our cost analysis, and I will present some selected results from the analysis, and then I will conclude. So in hosting an application, there are two extreme ways of hosting application. One is a traditional way of fully in-house hosting, and the other is moving the entire application to the cloud. And there can be a large number of hosting options in between, and we call those hybrid options. And the way to achieve hybrid options is by application partitioning, and especially the component-based partitioning we call vertical partitioning divides the application into two components and place one set in the cloud, the other in in-house. Another way of partitioning is workload-based partitioning. We call this horizontal partitioning. So as you can see in the animation, it creates a replica in the cloud whenever the workload exceeds some threshold. So the hybrid hosting can be thought of a combination of this vertical and horizontal partitioning. And in our approach, we consider these five hosting options. We have one fully in-house hosting option, two hybrid options, and two fully in-cloud options. For those two in the middle, hybrid options, we place the non-database tier in-house and use two cloud services for the database tier. And for the fully cloud case, the red box on the right side, we consider the case where we only use the Amazon EC2 instance, and also the case where we use Amazon EC2 plus Amazon's RDS database service. To figure out the cost of these hosting options, we have to consider a large number of cost factors. This is a very simplified view. There can be workload properties, application properties, and how long you want to run your applications. And of course, there are a large number of cost factors. Each cost factors or each properties have its own intricacies, and you may have to consider the case-specific considerations. So we thought that it is infeasible to build one framework that incorporates all these factors, so we have decided to take a bottom-up approach, where we consider two representative applications. We study them thoroughly to draw some generalities. Let me briefly explain our cost assessment process of the framework. I'll be using two simple in-house and in-cloud example. And first, you start with determining what performance level you want to maintain for your application and how long you want to deploy. Here, I'm just assuming some static number, but those numbers can be something more complex than this. Next thing you have to do is you have to determine what we call ISO-performing hardware configuration, which means that for a given 100 transactions per second, how many servers do you need for each hosting options? So in this example, the full house hosting option requires 4 servers, and for cloud-based hosting, it shows that you need 6 virtual machines. Once you have done that, then you have to identify relevant cost factors. For example, hardware cost, it's only meaningful for the in-house hosting options, obviously, and VM instance fees, it only makes sense for the cloud-based hosting options. So then, finally, you have to calculate all the costs for all the recurring years of your deployment years, and then you can use the sum to do the comparisons across hosting options. So this is the basic steps we have taken. I'm going to briefly explain step 3 and 4. Please take a look at the details for steps 1 and 2. And first, we have to identify, in order to identify the cost, we have to understand what type of costs there are. We have come up with these classifications. We found that some costs are more difficult to account than others, and we call those less quantifiable costs at the bottom. And we only deal with the quantifiable costs because less quantifiable costs cannot be expressed in dollar amounts. It's really difficult to deal with. Within this quantifiable costs, it can be further divided into direct and indirect costs, following this practice of financial and accounting areas. And we find that this indirect cost is very subjective, and it depends on many external factors. So we focus only on the direct cost for our study. And recall that the final step of our cost assessment process was combining all those recurring costs for every year for your deployment years. And there, all those recurring costs are the costs that happen at some different points of time in the future. So you cannot directly use those costs to do any kind of manipulation. So you have to somehow convert those values into the value of some reference point of time, which is usually the present time. So that's the basic concept of net present value. So this pictorially shows what this conversion looks like. We have used that simplified expression for our analysis, and all the costs in our graphs are based on these net present values. So let me present some selected results from our analysis. First, let's take a look at the workload intensity and the growth rates, the effect of those, using TPCW. First, in case of a low workload intensity of 20 transactions per second, we have years of operation for x-axis, and we have the dollar amounts for y-axis. The cost for in-house comes out to be like this at the bottom. And when calculating these in-house costs, we have incorporated the idea of update cycle of 4 years, which means that I upgrade all the hardware and software to the state of the art. And that's why you see the increase at year 5 and year 9 in this case. But and those flat lines are actually not flat. It's a slow increasing. It's still increasing, but it does not show clearly here. And the cost of two fully cloud-based hosting options comes out to be this. So the winner is using only the Amazon EC2 instance for the TPCW, and it's closely followed by EC2 plus RDS hosting options. And so it tells you that it makes sense to go to the cloud when the workload is that level. And the cost for two hybrid options comes out to be much more expensive than other hosting options. And the main reason is because of the data transfer costs, as I'll be showing the cost breakdown in the next slides. So let's look at what happens if the workload significantly increases to 500 transactions per second. In this case, the winner comes out to be the fully in-house hosting option. This is an increasing function, but it does not show well that it's increasing due to this scale of y-axis. And the cost of two cloud-based hosting options shows that the steep increasing behavior. And the cost of two hybrid options comes to be much more expensive than any other choice again. So we have looked at wider range of workload intensity and growth rates, and we found that cloud-based hosting option is preferable for low workload intensity and smaller growth rates. So let's take a look at the cost breakdown of year four to understand why the cost comes out to be this. So we have a cost breakdown for the fully in-house case, which is $16,000, and we have 60% of software, and we have two cloud-based hosting options where the green shows the data transfer cost. So it actually shows that data transfer cost is about more than half, a little more than half. And in case of hybrid options, the data transfer cost comes out to be almost 80 or 90% of the cost. Okay, so we from here we learned that data transfer is significant, and also you have to be very careful when you're considering hybrid options because of these large data transfer costs. And we have the results for the storage capacity and license. So it shows these similar behaviors, and here we this TPCe benchmark requires some commercial database licenses and high-end storage costs. So that shows a very high cost for the fully in-house case, and fully EC2 comes out to be economical because you don't have to buy all those hardwares. And then using EC2 plus SQL Server pay-as-you-go database, then it becomes even cheaper. And okay, so for the conclusion, we have learned these insights, and also we have studied the effect of horizontal partitioning, and it showed that, although it is not presented, it shows that horizontal partitioning is effective with dealing with workload variances. For the future work, we're considering developing more accurate performance estimation models for cloud for hosting an application in the cloud, and then also we're considering economic studies for the scientific applications.
Okay, we have time for probably a couple of quick questions.
Hi, I'm Suman from UT Austin. So most of your workloads which you used seems to be steadily increasing, right? You have a fixed increment rate.
Yeah.
But it seems cloud computing is kind of more useful when you have spiky workload, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can scale. So what are your thoughts on that? Have you modeled something on that? Or?
In this study, we considered the average value for the initial study. And so the graph that I showed you, it's mostly about the average numbers. And even though your workload has some workload variance, we just assume that it has been flattened out over a long period of time. And we also studied the effect of workload variance at different scales of this variance levels. It shows that the small workload variance seems to have less effect. And if the workload has some kind of flash crowd of workloads, then it significantly affects the in-house costs.
Thanks.
Any others? So I'll do one really quick. The last session, we learned that there are people feverishly working to make these clouds more efficient. Do your models assume that the lease service is going to get cheaper over time?
Well, I certainly hope that they get cheaper. But
are you assuming they will? Or
I'm more towards assuming that it will.
Okay.
We have seen.
Is the net present value calculation basically the same for the own servers versus the cloud servers, or are you giving them the benefit of the doubt on that?
Benefit.
Do you think that the cloud based resources are going to become more efficient, so cheaper sooner than you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Let's bring the next speaker up.